So, part two of creating a culture of honor. I'm going to review. I'm going to preach you my last week's message. No, I want to review. Culture. Have you guys thought, the ones that were here last week, have you thought about your culture at all this week? Culture is your formation of beliefs, customs, civilization. It's shared attitudes, values, goals, and practices. I like this one, the training and development of the mind. I loved what Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, it's really who you are. And I was like, you're right. What is your normal? What's your normal for your inner life? What's your normal for your family, your friends, your spouse, church, work? What is your normal? We'll talk more about it. I was rewriting this, and Holy Spirit was just like, I'm the cultivator of your culture. So I just wanted to look up what cultivate meant. And it says, prepare land for raising crops. He's the one that prepares you. He gets you ready. It says, to raise or assist the ground. Shut it off. Okay. So cultivate, to raise or assist the ground. To improve or develop by careful attention, training, or study. Devote time. And it sounds like a parent to me. It's what you do with your children. You teach them, whether you know it or not. Even if you're purposely teaching them, then that's the plan that you have. If you are not, you are still teaching them something. You will teach them your nature. Your culture will come to be their culture, to be their normal. Even if, like, if you're afraid of bugs, I tried not to show my kids that I was afraid of bugs because I didn't want them to be afraid of bugs. And now even my granddaughter would be like, Grandma, look at the spider. And I'm like, ugh, or look at the worm. Or, you know, I'm just like, I don't like bugs, but don't tell them that. No, but you can pass your own fears on to your children too. So your culture, be aware of your culture. Let Holy Spirit show you. Or if there's a culture, a different normal that you want to see in your life, hang out with Holy Spirit. He can show it to you. So culture, creating a culture of honor. And the best cultivator is the Holy Spirit of honor. So honor has to be our culture. It has to be our normal. It has to become who we are, how we think, because the very culture of heaven is honor. I love what Danny Silk says. He says, if I can find it, honor is the relational currency of heaven. It's all about honor in relationship. Honor was to glory in, to elevate the status of, to give prestige to, or to give respect and admiration. That was honor. I loved when I looked up honor in the Hebrew. It said, heavy, honor, and liver. It doesn't give you a great definition of honor, does it? But that's the word that is mostly used in the Old Testament. So I decided, I was like, liver? I love how the Hebrew language is so, it gives you pictures. And then there's so much more. A word is so living in the Hebrew language. So when he says liver, you can go look up liver and it's all, you're like, wow, that's what honor does. So I looked up some of the, you know, characteristics of the liver, and it was It breaks down poisonous substances in the blood. Your blood sugar will remain constant, and it stores vitamins and minerals, which provides energy for the body. Okay, so if you think about honor with those, if you have honor towards people, if your filter is honor towards people, it, if there's anything negative or not that's poison to your body, you'll filter that through honor and be like, no, I'm not going to think that way. I'm not going to speak that way because I honor. It keeps you constant. It keeps you unbroken. That's what your liver does for your body. And that's what honor will do for you. It'll keep you in freedom, which we're going to talk about next. But it also stores vitamins and minerals. It keeps you full of energy and life. That's what honor does for you. And it's vital. Everything that goes into your body or on your is filtered through the liver. And I think that's so important for honor. Everything is filtered through honor. Or let everything be filtered through honor. And you can't live without your liver. And I'm going to say this, you're not alive unless you operate in honor. You will experience, you can live, but you don't know what it's like to be alive because of honor. So like I said before, honor is the relational currency of heaven. It's all about the exchange of relating one to another. And you can see that in the Old Testament. It's about God with sinners, right? And how he comes into the New Testament, Jesus restored that. Now we have relationship back with God. But you know what? Just because Adam sinned doesn't mean that God was not with him anymore. Or God had to be away from him. Or that, no. Look at it. Look at the relationships in the Old Testament. It's amazing. The Bible is all about relationships. Even the Ten Commandments, 6 of the 10 are about relationships. The first 4 are about you and God. And most, if you read a lot of the Bible, you can see the connection of how it is between you and someone else. Let everything flow through honor, because life flows through honor. So whatever, with the liver, whatever is said and done is processed and purified by honor. Honor will make sure you stay steady and unbroken, full of life, purity, and energy, which will keep you in freedom. Honor brings you freedom. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Remember, freedom is not getting what you want, when you want it, and how you want it. That's not freedom. That's freedom without a plan. The Spirit, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit brings freedom. The Spirit is love and joy and peace. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's where we get to operate in, because Holy Spirit's in us. And now those things can operate through us because of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Freedom means you don't carry the baggage of bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred, anger, all offense. Can you imagine? Some of us, and for years and years and years, have carried around. Can you imagine being weighed down? If you had a backpack full of the yuck that you think, and maybe you don't, and that's beautiful. But sometimes I just picture like bricks of unforgiveness, anger, hate, offense. And you carry that around. And when Jesus is like, wow, you can have freedom through me. And it comes through honor and creating a culture of honor. Now listen, in Galatians 5:1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free. He purchased your freedom. And do not be entangled again by a yoke of bondage. He's saying you can be. You can choose to be entangled again. Galatians 5, 7 to 9. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. There's that lie that hinders you, right? Somebody says something that's close to you and it hinders you. Galatians 5, 13 to 15. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So Paul here is giving us he's telling us what can happen to us if we allow ourselves to just say what we want to say, when we want to say it, and how we want to say it. Negatively. Even thinking. Imagine a church that didn't have a critical spirit or a critical thought. Imagine a church that didn't have any manipulation or, right? You know what? I was set free. I used to be so critical when I first was so zealous for God. Oh, they weren't doing this and they weren't doing that. Well, they got up there and did this. Well, and they got up there and did that. Well, you know what? And all the time I'm missing the presence of God. And I loved it when I heard Joseph Garlington's message. He said, I don't know if you know him, but he said, do you want to be a critic or do you want to receive? And I was like, oh, I'd rather choose freedom. Because this over here is not life. So I'm sitting in the pews or, you know, sitting in the pews, worshiping, and somebody gets up and talks. And then you have these thoughts of, well, they just killed the spirit, or, oh, they just, you know, I can't stand how they do this, or I can't. Anytime now, I used to do this, guys. Anytime now that I have that little inkling of resistance, I turn my ear to them. Because I have a feeling God's going to try to speak to me through them. Because all of a sudden I'm turning my ear away from them because of what I think about them. Or what I think about what they're saying, or what I think. Now I'm just like, nope, I want to listen to them. Because if they came up here, if they had the guts to come up here and say something, if they felt so Holy Spirit led that they came up, I'm going to listen because God is going to speak to them or speak through them to me. That's honor. That's letting it being filtered through honor. It keeps you free and it keeps you receiving. See, he's calling us to a higher place, and that's what honor does. It keeps you in that higher place, that place of just blessing and receiving. Where when you live in the lower place, you can get muddied and muckied and mired. And then you don't know why don't I receive? Why don't I? But if you keep your thinking, it's so important to keep our thinking right. Honor is powerful. Freedom is powerful. And freedom means you have a choice. Freedom is the ability to choose between life and death. The Bible says he's set before us life and death. And then he tells us the answer: choose life. Now that seems very simple, but a lot of us choose death instead of life, or we don't even recognize that we're choosing death. We are so powerful. And powerful people have a plan. So I want to talk today about being a powerful person. Danny Silk says, perfect freedom is the ability to express God's design for love and relationships. That's perfect freedom. Is to express his love to those in your life. So a powerful person, you are powerful. Everybody say it. I am powerful. I control me. Let's all say it. I control me. Okay, now you don't have to repeat anymore. And powerful people have a plan. Those two things have been so helpful in my life. To know that I am powerful and to know that I have to have a plan to stay powerful. We know what to do and we make choices. Powerful people know what to do and they make choices. So if something comes that you don't like and you're saying, wait a second, then you say, wait, my plan is to stay in freedom, so I'm going to choose life. Right? Because you know, your husband can say something to you, and all day long, oh man, I'm just not any good. Oh yeah, I'm not worth it. Well, hey, I can't do it. You know, and then you're like, wait a second, that's not what he means at all. And getting to the truth of it, and then saying, wait, maybe I'll try to find out if I need to understand what he said. But if I don't, I can drop that, let that go, and then choose life. So you know what to do. You got to know what to do and make a choice. Powerful people do not try to control others. And some of us can be so good at it, we don't even realize we are. We deliberately and consciously create the environment we want to live in. Do you create your environment? Now, if you walk into a place that's crazy, can you create your environment? Yes, and you better. Because if you go into an environment and it succumbs you, you forgot you're a powerful person. Right? Because when you walk into the room, everything changes. Why? Because Jesus is in you. You can bring the light. You can bring the blessing into a place. You don't like a store that feels yucky? Go lay your hands on it and start blessing it. Change the atmosphere in that place and see what happens. We take responsibility for our lives and our choices. This is big to teach to children, that they take responsibility for what they did and what they chose. You choose who you want to be with. They know what they will pursue in life and how they will go after it. They are not slaves to their instincts. Your instincts don't rule you. Your day or circumstances don't manage you. You're not affected or infected by the environment. I mean, if you, I keep thinking of different Bible characters. Daniel. I mean, just David. Joseph, you're not affected by things. And sometimes I'm like, God, how does that happen? It seems too good to be true. But how is it? Holy Spirit. is in you. He is self-control. Okay. You refuse to be a victim or a victim of others. We don't give in to peer pressure or popular opinion. You can say yes and no and mean it. You can respond with love in the face of fear, pain, and failure. We can love no matter what the other person does. Powerful people don't try to get people to respect them. They create that atmosphere by being respectful. You'll cause others around you to be powerful. And powerful people can be who they are and allow others to be themselves around them. Powerful statements. Now, you can also learn about a powerful person from a powerless person. Powerless language is I can't or I have to. This is saying that you won't take responsibility for your decision or your action. A powerless person places the blame on someone or something else that is making them do it. What drives a powerless person is anxiety. Anxiety, where everything and everybody is more powerful than them. Life is scary for a powerless person, and they feel out of control. They need others to protect them, make them happy, and take responsibility for their lives. And this is where we try to control and manipulate other people, because we need to get our needs met. But it's not true freedom. Say it with me. I am a powerful person. I take responsibility for my choices. And I don't control others. I control me. Awesome. We're going to talk about creating a safe place. God blessed me with a mother from heaven. She knew how to raise her children to be powerful kids. Because, if we did something wrong, I could go to mom and be like, Mom, this is what happened. And she'd be like, well, how is that going to help you in life? Or, how is it going to turn out? Well, what are we going to do? It was never, oh, you dumbbell, why'd you do that? Or, calling me names. Or, it was always, all right, we have a problem. Let's get the solution and let's get it, so you can get back into freedom. And she did it not only for my, I think all my brothers and sisters could probably attest to this, but not only for myself, but my friends would go to her and talk to her and be like, I'm drunk, can I come, and my mom's like, oh yeah, I'll come get you. It's like, okay. But I watched this happen in my life. And then when I started doing these teachings, I was like, this was my mom. This is how we were raised. But creating a safe place is when you remember we don't control others. And there's three types of people that will come to you. They'll either have a problem with you, okay, or they want to tell you about you and what you did, or they'll have a problem with themselves or others, or they're victims or powerless people. Now, if they come to you and they have a problem with you, like I worked at Scamps for quite a long time, and that's a gymnastics, I taught gymnastics. So a lady came up to me, the silly thing is you have to go, you can't allow people in the class that haven't paid for the class. So I walked up to her. It's just kind of an uncomfortable thing. I said, here's the little slip, and you need to go you know, just make sure your account is, you know, covered so that your child can come into class. And she's like, well, you're not even a good teacher. You don't even know what you're doing. And she went on to berate me in front of the class because she got loud. I mean, I was talking to her at the door where everybody else was sitting around over there, so nobody knew. But she went on to berate me in front of the whole class because she got super loud. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but I said, I still need you to go, you know, I still need you to go to the office and take care of your bill. Now, I had a choice there. I could have taken everything she said and be like, oh, I'm not a good teacher. I can't, you know, I don't. But I was like, what's the truth? The truth to me is she didn't pay her bill. So now I'm asking her to go pay her bill. And she was, you know, upset because she had to go do that. It really had not, what she was saying really had nothing to do with me. Or maybe I am a bad teacher. I don't know. I always thought I was a decent one. But I wanted to, you know, just to stay in freedom. If somebody comes at you and you can remain calm, I could have probably backlashed at her. Or have you seen that? I've seen, and I've actually even had more incidences where I could have been like, and had a really, but I thank God for Holy Spirit in me, who's self-control, who's peace. And when you stay in freedom, it's fun. I like what Lisa was saying, you get to forgive. And it's great when you get to choose to stay in freedom. It's powerful. Because you don't want those things to drag you down. Now, it can bring freedom and life. Now, there's when others come to you with other people's problems. What do you do? Do you have a plan? How do you handle it? How do you create that safe place? I'm going to give you another work example. I had a lady come up, or she was working for me, and she was like, well, I heard that your boss said this about me, and now she's saying I said this about her, and I said, stop. I said, can I just be honest with you? And she's like, yeah. I said, I think you guys are acting like two-year-olds. I said, you need to just go talk to my boss and figure out what the problem is, because I said, it's probably just a misunderstanding. And it was funny, because she goes, and, you know, I didn't think anything else of it. Come back the next day, and she comes into work, and she's like, Lori, you're not going to believe what happened. And I was just like, it brought her freedom. Because she actually went and took care of the problem instead of just, because that can be the thing too, is I'll go tell Brenda, and then I'll tell Jeff, and then I keep telling everybody else instead of just going and saying, hey, I don't know if I understand. You know, I heard this, is that true? That type of thing. Being victims or powerless people, we cannot be victims or powerless people. Victims are subject to everything that's around them. And I was actually asking God, because Danny Silk said something interesting. He said that whenever he comes into churches and talks about honor, he said a lot of the churches start saying, well, they didn't, you know, that leader didn't treat me with honor. Well, that wasn't honor. That wasn't honor. And they say, well, Jeff didn't treat me with honor. You know, they start picking out everybody that didn't treat them with honor. And I was like, God, why is that? And he said to me, it's a victim mentality. That's a victim mentality. When you can see that nobody honors you. When your honor does not, you honor regardless of how others treat you. And you'll pull them into a higher place by them being around you. You want to create an atmosphere. You're creating a safe place. You want to create an atmosphere of freedom and love, and they can experience it, that they get to experience. You're not afraid in creating a safe place. You're not afraid of the sin, the mistake, the misunderstanding, or the failure. You're not afraid of them. So when somebody comes to you and they've made a mistake, okay, what is the issue? Oh, the mistake. Well, this is the mistake. Well, no, what caused you to do that, though? And I'm not going to get into counseling, but there's things that you can walk through, and that's where I would say go to talk to Natalie and Bud. If there's something that you cannot overcome, they will help you walk through things so you can find freedom. Because sometimes when it's not your normal, it can be very hard to see it unless Holy Spirit shows you, which He is great. But also in talking with people that are trained and can start seeing things in your life. You guys, in creating a safe place, all you want to see for them is freedom. The problem is the problem, but you just want to see them get out of the situation. Just like my friend who was talking, oh, they're talking this, and go. And then she's like, I got freedom. They saw a little different. And sometimes it just helps to talk to someone, maybe not. So you're not afraid of the sin. Was God afraid? Adam and Eve, right? Genesis 3, Adam and Eve are in the garden. They sinned. Who came to them first? God did. He came to them first and said, what'd you do? Oh, we hid. Well, why'd you hide? Because we're naked. How'd you know you're naked? He knew. And then what did God do is He covered them and He protected them. And that's exactly what we can do even with God, is come to Him and say, wow, I don't like how I responded here or reacted here. Creating a safe place. All you want to do is see freedom, and that's all God wants to do. So you're not afraid of the sin, and you want to listen to understand. Listen to understand where they're coming from. And doesn't mean that what they're saying is truth. It's just their perception. But then, in your head, be like, what is the truth? And what lies could they possibly be believing? Because then you'll bring them freedom. Okay, so creating a safe place. Because a lot of our relationships are, we have a fear of punishment. If someone knows what I did, they're going to punish me. Or they're not going to want to be with me anymore. And that is not, if you love God, that is not going to be the case. Because the truth is we just want to help. Because doesn't it say, confess your sins one to another and you'll be healed? All right, empowering those in your lives to live a life of freedom. I love questions. When people are talking to me, they come to me and they have issues or whatever, I'll ask them questions. Well, how did that decision work out for you? Oh my goodness, what are you going to do? Because what am I doing? I'm empowering them. Okay, so because if a person is a victim and they really don't want help, they won't come to you anymore. Because you just keep hitting the ball right back to their court. Here you go. Because a victim will always want you to Try to make them happy. Try to meet their need. So questions are great to empower people in your life. And you got to see life from a point of power and telling them who they are, that they're a powerful person and they control what they decide to do, whether it's life or death. Jesus, with the woman who committed adultery, loving thinking about how he empowered people to live free. Here they are accusing her, threw her out in front of everybody. And what does Jesus do? Hey, he who has no sin, cast the first stone. They're all ready to, because that was the punishment, right? That's when we're going to throw the stones, because that's what we do. And then what did Jesus do? Stoops down and starts writing in the sand. Doesn't say what he wrote, but they all left her. Powerful. And what does he say to her? Go and sin no more. He empowered her to sin no more. Jesus with the disciples, right? They were all rejected now from the rabbinical school, and now they had to go home and do their father's business. But Jesus is like, nope, I want you, I'm taking you, and I'm going to make you be who God has called you to be. And that's you now. We're all called. We've all been chosen. And he's going to pull the destiny out of you, and it might be through people around you. Empowering those around us, seeing the good, the value, pulling on their giftings. You can see it you can do this in your family. You can see the giftings in your children. You can see the giftings in your husband. Pull on, and even in the church. Who could I get to? And then who is good at, and you can pull on them. You can see the value in each other. And then we have to protect our connection. So we are creating a safe place and empowering those to live lives of freedom, but we've got to protect our connections too. And I like this one because it's learn to respond instead of react. And the scripture that I would use is James 1:19. Which says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I'm telling you, these three things in your life will create much freedom for you. And less apologizing. I'm serious. I've done many. But be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. It creates life. Fear, failure, and pain can bring the worst out of us. And this is where we try to control, manipulate, threaten, and withhold love from people. You react without thinking. Now, responding takes training. It does not come naturally. You have to train your mind to think. You have to train your will to choose. And you have to train your body to obey. And this will help you build freedom to connect or to keep or to protect your connections, protect your relationships with one another, when you can respond instead of react. When you train yourself in responding, the best will come out of you. Courage will come out, strength will come out, compassion, love, purity, empathy comes out when you train yourself to respond. I always try, if something is like, whoa, I'll be like, okay, Holy Spirit, help me understand or give me the words to say. If there's something that comes at me that's hard, or a circumstance that's hard, or, you know, news that comes at you that's hard, take a moment with Holy Spirit and be just like, help me to respond instead of react. Perfect love casts out all fear. If you'll all stand with me. First John 4:16-18 says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So if you have a fear, just bring that fear to God. Be like, this is what I'm afraid of. And watch what he does. Watch how he changes you. Watch how you start seeing things differently. And you start seeing others differently. None of this is to cause condemnation or to cause you to be so introspective that you don't think you're worth any good. Because sometimes when you hear messages like this, you're like, I can't do that. I don't do that. I don't live like that at all. But powerful people have a plan. And they start. Right? You can just start today. And if it's with your kids and you're saying, oh, my kids are 50 years old, it doesn't matter. Start today. You will see amazing things happening. Because perfect love casts out all fear.